Hi everyone, this is Luis.
And
Octavio.
And who these?
This is our second time doing this because Judy just can't get it together. But anyways, before we start the podcast today, we just wanted to let you know that we literally just recorded...
For 2 fucking hours.
No, for like from June till October. We spilled the beans, todo el rollo. So just know that this is a 2-part episode.
And you better listen to both of them, because if you don't, then you won't know what fucking happened. A lot of shit happened.
And, you know, somebody's going to come and jalarte las patas en la noche.
And it's not going to be me.
Or is it? All right. Listen. All right. 2 episodes. And here we go with episode number 1. Pissing me off.
I'm gonna have a little cucumber salad.
With tea.
Shut up.
¿Eso te va a dar un pinche chorro? Are you ready? Why didn't you bring notes? I have a lot of notes. I have a lot of shit to go over.
Okay, well then, go over them.
Make sure you put your phone on silent, on do not disturb. Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. All right. After how many months? I have been recording. Para que vean. Okay, I'm always waiting on you. That's why we haven't recorded in fucking 5 months. 5 months or 6 months? It's gonna be about 6 months. We haven't recorded in a year, Judy.
It hasn't been a year.
It feels like it's been a year. And if it wasn't or it hasn't been for Rosa, our only one fan. No, just kidding, just kidding. There's several of you. Muchísimas gracias. Well, we are back. Are you ready to do the intro? All right, let's do the intro. Fine, we can't do a fucking intro because who these? Okay, so where did we leave off, first of all? And second of all, muchísimas gracias to everybody who sent us messages of like, when is the podcast coming back? When is the podcast coming back?
Are you guys alive?
I honestly thought that maybe 1 or 2 people would listen to the podcast, but apparently there's more of you. Les encanta el pinche drama that we live out here in La Casa de Aguilar. In La Casa de los Papiringos, and our everyday life. I've actually gotten, I don't know about you, I'm sure you've gotten messages too, but I've gotten messages of people who are saying things like, oh my God, it's so relatable, and I love that you guys are raw, sin pelos en la lengua, like you really do talk about these family dynamics that I think a lot of people go through, and sometimes we think it's only our families that go through this shit or these pedos, but apparently there's more. And there's a ton of people that go through these pedos. So, muchas gracias.
Why are you making those faces?
Shut up.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyways.
So we are here. It's 7:39 p.m. on a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And what have we been doing? Well, actually, the last time we were on here, we were going to Mexico, so.
Oh my gosh, should we talk about our Mexico trip?
Yeah, because we never did.
Okay, well, that's a great start. Let's do that. Let's do that because that trip was awesome. I don't... Well, you know what? Espérame tantito because Judith is drinking tea and fucking eating pepinos con limón y tajín because
I'm
she is...
I'm not pregnant, okay?
Because she's a señora and I don't know what the heck. But I'm about to bust open a... Yes, you heard right. A beer. And I'm about to pour... limón in there, and I'm also going to put no more tajin because there's no more tajin. Judy ate the whole fucking or used the whole fucking thing. So I am going to use our brother's El Salchichón Michelado chili powder, which
chili powder.
He's not sponsoring it porque es medio codo. Listen, the truth is the truth. So, cheers, Judith. Cheers con tu té de menta, de tila, de cola de caballo.
It's actually detox tea.
It's a detox tea?
Yeah.
All right. So, es el chupapanza tea.
No,
it's basically not what she's saying, but she didn't really want to say it. But it's the chupapanza tea that you can get at your local swap meet. So, anyways, the last time we were here, we were talking about going to La Ciudad de Mexico, because we're going to go for Pride, and I was very, very excited, porque this was going to be the first time that you actually came with me to a Pride event, and what better way than to go to La Ciudad de Mexico. So let's talk about that trip. First of all, if you listened to the last episode, you heard que Judy la cagó because she booked, como siempre, she took forever. She's, como dijo tu amiga, que she corrected me.
Indecisive. Yes.
Instead of undecisive.
Yes.
So Judy's very indecisive, and she ended up booking a trip or a flight that literally took off an hour before mine. So we both drove to Tijuana to the airport, and she took off before me, which was really funny because actually esta drag queen, Mona Gray, actually met up with us en el ¿cómo se llama? In El Vips de Tijuana, del aeropuerto, we had a drink and she was all freaking excited. She took off
in another
flight. Then you took off in another flight and I was the last one out. And so that's how our trip started. We all took different flights and...
Since we hikey don't like each other.
I seriously.
We can't stand each other.
And then when we got to La Ciudad de Mexico, Rob was there to pick us up and they literally had to wait for a little bit to wait for me.
We actually had to wait like 2 more hours because your fucking flight, actually going there and coming back, Luis's flight had so many delays, like so many battles going on in there.
Yeah, I flew Volaris, so clearly that shit was going to happen. Pero bueno, ya llegamos, which was great. Llegamos super temprano, Rodrigo picked us up, we went to go have breakfast, then we waited for the Airbnb. And it was such a great time. I had a blast. I mean, I always have a blast when I go to La Ciudad de Mexico, and especially during Pride because it's Mexico tour season. And we rented a trajinera, which we went on this trajinera Xochimilco brunch, which was amazing. Pero before that, on Saturday, I can't even remember everything we did, so I'm just gonna highlight the bigger parts. If you remember anything else, please feel free to.
It was Friday, not Saturday.
When?
But when we went to Edwin's.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Edwin's. I wasn't even going to talk about Edwin's.
Anyways, that was like a really fucking badass.
But well, hold on. Let's give people like kind of a background of who Edwin is. So Edwin is an amazing chingon person here in Los Angeles. He is DACA recipient and he actually got the opportunity to get that advanced parole thing and go to La Ciudad de Mexico during Pride, which actually also happened to be his birthday. Entonces, when he found out that he was able to go, I was like, wait, no te preocupes, te quiero regalar the Xochimilco trip. You need to come with us to Xochimilco, my gift to you. And he was like, okay, perfecto. So Edwin y su familia son de Nezahualcóyotl. And Nezahualcóyotl, because we have family there, is considered to be like...
The ghetto.
Yeah, the not so nice, great part of el Estado de México, right? But honestly, Nezahualcóyotl is amazing. I'm sure it has parts that are dangerous, perhaps. Pero qué pinche ciudad no tiene ese tipo de lugares, right? And so Edwin was like, oye, vamos a tener una fiesta. Mi familia me va a hacer una fiesta increíble, no sé qué. And we were like, sale y vale. Entonces nos llevó Rodrigo. And oh my God, that fiesta was beautiful. It was amazing. La familia de Edwin
is amazing.
Is the fucking best. Like, first of all, who has a party in the middle of the week? Was it Friday or was it Thursday? I feel like it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. It was on a Thursday, Judy. Because creo que llegamos y fue ese mismo pinche día.
Actually.
Yeah, I feel because we kept on saying like, pues como nosotros crecimos aquí en Estados Unidos no te puedes echar un pedo sin que le llamen a la policía for a disturbance of the peace. Like, we were so mesmerized that, obviamente, it was a weekday y los vecinos no dijeron nada. Like, we literally, o sea, tenían sonidero.
Señoras y señores, Este segmento musical va dedicado
especialmente. Tenían un taquero. Like, his whole family was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was such a really beautiful experience. I think especially for me.
Yeah, because you didn't get to leave.
Because I didn't get to experience any of the fiestas or anything that Luis and Ricardo experienced when they were growing up. So it almost felt like Edwin's family made us feel like we were primos, like tías, tías.
For real.
It was really awesome. But...
La rumba mayor. Sabroso.
El jefe del acetato.
Mi amiga la Miguela. Dale bonito. Y corregirle la tibita.
It felt like I was living like, you know, if it was my family, like that was my tía, my tío, and Edwin, and we were all there celebrating him, and it was just super fucking amazing, and like literally all his tíos and tías and cousins came through for him. Literally every single person had played a part in that celebration, which was fucking amazing, from like the bartending to the DJing to the music to the decor to everything. So it was just so beautiful to see how they all came together for him and also treated us so like the hospitality was just like, vente, you know, like without even knowing who we were, it was just really beautiful. And I felt like not an inner healing part of me, but like it was like this is what you guys grew up with, like that's fucking cool.
And listen, I think every family probably has their own pedos, but the way that this family came together for Edwin was beautiful. That honestly, Edwin, if you're listening to this, or if you ever listen to this, honestly...
You don't give a fuck about us. Just kidding.
Me dio muchísima envidia, because I wish I had that with my family in Mexico. Unfortunately, I don't. I don't really talk to them that much. But knowing that you don't have that much communication with them, and the way they went out for you was amazing. Several things happened during that fiesta. So the first thing that happened is we got to meet the Nacho Jota, which is this... I don't know his real name. I still to this day don't know his real name.
And I'm sure is Nacho.
And I'm sure he told me several times, because I'm sure I asked. Pero wait, su marca se llama Nacho Jota. He's a Mexican designer. If you watch La Más Draga, he has designed many of the outfits that Johnny Carmona wears. And he is just so fucking brilliant. Entonces, cuando llegamos, nos sentamos y literal nos sentaron a un lado de él. Y yo así como, literally, I was fangirling. I was like, oh my God, this is Nacho Jota. Like, I follow him on social media. I know his work, and his work is amazing. I only aspire to one day be able to wear something from him, from his collection, or de que me haga algo. And so then after a while we started drinking, we became the best fucking comadres. Like, okay, so en la fiesta de Edwin estaban dando caguamas. Nada de pinches cervecitas, no. Eran caguamas, una. Y después los cócteles que estaban haciendo los estaban sirviendo en penis recipientes, ¿no? And una de las tías was amazing, because she was like, de noche, de día, arriba la putería. So we were chanting that the whole fucking night. Well, anyways, so Nacho Jota and I became comadres, and we both got shit-faced.
Everybody got shit-faced.
Yes, honestly. But him and I were sitting next to each other, and we were like dos tías borrachas at a party, because we were just like, o sea, con decirles que hasta nos escondíamos las pinches caguamas debajo de la silla para que no teníamos que ir tan seguido a ir por ellas. But Nacho was amazing. He was the best. Like,
yeah, he's such a fucking, like, he's a queen. He's amazing. He's, for sure. He's awesome.
Entonces, en una de esas, empezamos a bailar, empezamos a hacer la viborita, y Edwin se salió por toda la cuadra. Literal, nos fuimos desfilando por toda la cuadra, aventando las bebidas, o sea, eso era un desmadre total. So anyways, that was the first day we got there. The next day...
And we literally were like, we're only gonna go for 1 hour.
Because we were tired.
And then even Ro was like, yeah, I'll drive, I'll be fine. Literally...
Una hora turned to like 2-3 in the morning.
And Ro, I mean, we were safe, but...
Yeah.
Everybody was...
Yeah, porque Ro no tomó. And y después de eso, literal, nos fuimos a la casa, fuimos a comer a Tacos Orinoco. Comimos ahí, Judy hizo una babosada, tiró todos los pinches tacos all over the place because this bitch was drunk.
Okay, first of all, I want to say something. Why is everything in Mexico las mesas are fucking small? Like, okay, literally, gringa. I'm sorry, yeah, this is sound, but I was like, oh my god, is this like...
Lo que pasa es que Judy no se sabe comportar when she's drunk and...
No.
Manotea and she just literal tiró todo, todo. And this place was fucking packed. So we at Tacos Orinoco, we actually bumped into two friends that were visiting also from here, from LA, which was Jorge and Marcos. And so Jorge had just arrived. Marcos was also at the party with us. And he actually drove back with us. And they were like, todavía estaban en party mode, ¿no?
Yeah.
And I was like, híjole, ¿saben qué? Pero es que esta hora lo único que está abierto es el Tom's. And my sister was like, ah, yo voy, let's go. And I was like, no, girl, sorry. Es que ahí no dejan entrar a mujeres. Because Tom's is a leather bar. Y literal, los go-go dancers andan encuerados.
So me mandaron a dormir. Hush, little baby, don't say a word.
Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And they have a dark room right there. For those of you that don't know what a dark room is, Google it. Y pues no, no dejan entrar a chavas because literal, o sea, está muy heavy, diría la gente de México. Y pues bueno, Judy se fue a dormir. Y Jorge, Marcos y yo nos fuimos al Tom's Leather Bar. Pues no llegamos como hasta las 6 de la mañana, literal, al otro día. And then the next day, pues... Like, we were just trying to, like, gather our energy.
Yeah, we had so much going on that week.
Yeah, that weekend.
That literally we didn't, like, sleep. I feel like we were just like, okay, what's next on the itinerary?
And so Friday, I think we just relaxed. We just took it, like, así, leve, ¿verdad? No salimos, no hicimos nada. Okay, hicimos. No, no hicimos nada.
Sí, we went to Museo de Frida.
Ah, pero eso ya fue en la tarde. Fuimos al Museo de Frida.
Which was beautiful. I think... I've never been, and I am not, like, the biggest Frida fan, but I think to be able to experience that was just very, like, oh my god, that it was beautiful. It was, like, a beautiful moment to be stepping on,
like... On Frida's ashes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just beautiful. It was.
That's right. That was your first time going there. Can you elaborate? Like, what else did you feel, like... Because you know that I've been a fan of Frida for the longest time, and you know... Like, I want to bring this back to me.
I mean, no es que no sea super fan de Frida, but I feel like she contributed to a lot, okay? It was a beautiful experience because, again, like, you're stepping on land that she was on, that has so many years, and it was just really beautiful. And I think it was even more, like... awesome to see that, like, real pieces of her furniture, like, of who she was there. It was pretty cool. It was a moment for sure. Sí me dio un poquito de sentimiento, a little bit.
¿Por qué?
Because, I mean, I feel like there's so many pieces to her story, right? And obviously, like, she went through a lot, but I think the power, like, the what made me feel very, like, sentimental was that... Like, love can make you do so many things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, it was a beautiful moment. It was cool. Y luego de repente, estaba haciendo aire. So de repente, were you there? Cuando se soltó la ventana?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course I was there.
But, I mean, were you there? No. So we were doing the tour y de repente se soltó una ventana, like, hard. And it was funny because the tourist guy that was there, uh-huh. He was like, oh, that means que ya quiere que se vaya de la chingada.
De su casa.
De su casa. But it was funny. We were just like, oh
and
my god.
And a lot
god.
Of people were startled.
Yeah,
so
we were like, oh shit.
I wasn't because, you know, no tengo sentimientos. But
but no, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
And then we went and walked around Coyoacán. We had an elote. And one of the things sharing with you is that every time I'm in Coyoacán, I always love to have an elote and just sit in la plaza. Because there's something about sitting in la plaza in Coyoacán, eating an elote, that just makes me feel I don't even know the feeling, to be quite honest, but it feels right. It feels like it's meant to be. No, not it's meant to be. It just feels right. There's a connection there for me that makes me feel alive.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I really enjoyed that Koyokan. It was very calm. It was very in the moment. It was just beautiful to see how people, you know, go and just spend their day there, their afternoon there, and you kind of just forget like everything that you're kind of going through, you know.
So the idea,
because I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Because the idea that day was to wake up super early, go to Las Piramides, and then come back and go to Frida's house. But clearly we didn't wake up early enough to go to Las Piramides because, o sea, es un pinche, o sea, está lejos. So then the next day was the actual marcha. And we got up early. Rodrigo went to pick us up. Y nos fuimos a desayunar. Y después de ahí nos fuimos a la marcha. What was that experience like for you?
That was like, honestly, that was beyond the most beautiful experience I have ever like lived. And I think it was mainly because I was there with you, and it was like just beautiful to see you in your element, but not only in your element, but like in your home and the place that, you know, that you were born. But it was just so beautiful to see people of the same skin color, because aquí obviamente it's like, one of the things that really stood out to me was that in Mexico, la marcha is very much still la marcha, right? Like it's still very, we're fighting for justice, equality, and whereas here, it's more of a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really click to me because I was like, with one, I've been to prides here, but it's very much like, you know, we're celebrating and it's, you know, but to see Mexico literally filled with people that literally wore like, you were brown, and there was kids of all like ages, and there was families there. I think that was like the most beautiful part to see, especially because I feel like being with my brother obviously was like a very touching experience, because I feel like you would have loved to have been able to go to a marcha maybe at a younger age, but you never got the opportunity to because you never, you came out at an older time in your life. And then, it was just beautiful. It was so beautiful to share that moment with you and to see other kids younger, like even younger than me, be there, because it's like, oh my God, like how powerful is this community that there's, you know, kids who are like, you know, proud of who they are. And I think in Mexico, it's a little bit harder because, you know, maybe parents are less accepting, but they're still there, you know, they're still there. They want to make change, and they're still literally marchando to make, you know, to be seen, to be heard. So it was just beautiful. And also, I think you were wearing you bought a black crown. And
oh my God, I had forgotten about that moment.
And my favorite movie and book growing up was Where the Wild Things Are. And it's a little boy.
Hey. Hi. I could use a story.
I don't know if you guys have read or seen that movie, but it's basically this little boy who siempre lo regañan porque he's like, you know, being himself and whatever, no? He's being himself. And Luis bought this like black crown. And as he was like walking, and as we were walking, I was like, oh my God, he's the little boy from Where the Wild Things Are. Like, he's fulfilling maybe one of his dreams to maybe have one of his family members be here with him. and hoping that maybe one day my mom and my dad can go with us to one of those. But it was such a beautiful moment because you have always been so outspoken. You have never been afraid to be who you are. You've never been afraid to, like, disturb the peace, basically. And it was just so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it was just, like, a moment. I don't know how many times I cried that day, but it was just really cool. It was cool to experience that and to be able to see a whole community be there for one another and see even like parents and moms, you know, give out free hugs and all that. Like, it was just so beautiful. And even little kids who were there, you know, chanting and stuff. I've never seen that here. I've never experienced anything like that. Again, here I feel like it's just a celebration where we know and we're aware that that's going on, but in Mexico it's like even stronger because there's people who are still, you know, struggling and people who are dying and stuff like that. So it was just really, really, really awesome to be there and with everyone there. And everybody was literally like, you know, treating each other like family, and nobody was trying to like be rude to anyone. And it was just really beautiful.
Damn,
it was a moment.
That was a fucking moment. I wasn't expecting to fucking shed a tear, let alone two.
Yeah, it was a moment for sure. I would definitely say that if no one has ever experienced Pride in Mexico, that you definitely should. Especially because I feel like if you're struggling to come out to your family or to your friends or to anyone in general, and you feel like no one's accepting, or you know, you're struggling to find like how to speak up and how to be present and how to put yourself out there, I think this is like such a beautiful experience because you literally feel like you're welcomed. Like, el recibimiento de esa marcha fue super, super, like, it was just beautiful. It was a fucking moment. And I definitely do feel that if you have the opportunity to experience that, that you should definitely do it. And yeah.
Well, I think I'm happy that you went, first of all. I think that that's, you know, thank you. I don't know that I ever told you thank you for going.
You never did, bitch.
But thank you so much for going. I really do appreciate you being a part of it and being able to experience this marcha, because the first time I went, I also had that experience of like, holy shit, this is amazing. This is something different. Seeing parents there, seeing little kids, I think especially seeing little kids, because there's a TikTok sound that hopefully I can find and I can play it here. If I do, this is what it sounds like.
Queer people don't grow up as ourselves. We grow up playing a version of ourselves that sacrifices authenticity to minimize humiliation and prejudice. The massive task of our adult lives is to unpick which parts of ourselves are truly us and which parts were created to protect us. This quote was written by queer writer Alexander Leone.
And if I don't find it, well, let me explain it to you. It basically is a sound that somebody created and said that growing up gay, you never grow up as your authentic self, because you're always, fuck, now you're gonna make me cry. Because you're always growing up being somebody that the society wants you to be. And being able to take therapy, I've learned why I'm so fucking controlling. And the reason why I'm so controlling is because I can control nearly almost everything around me except for my sexuality and who I really am. And so for the longest time, I was able to control my work. I was able to control everything else around me except for that. I could not control who I felt attracted to. And that's why it took me so long to come out of the closet, because I had to be living this double life, you know, this life that involved heteronormacy. And then, cuando podía, live out my life. And when I was able to do that was when I was traveling for work, because nobody knew me in these states that I would go to. And so that was the only one time where I was able to go to a gay club, to a gay bar, without really caring who was there, because nobody knew me. And so the first time I went to this Pride Festival in Mexico, I was already out of the closet, but to be able to see so many people that looked like me, that spoke in my language, that listened to the same song and that listened to the same music and was dancing to the same music with whether it be banda, mariachis, norteños, that you find these all over La Marcha, made me felt like I wasn't alone. And even though I had gone to the marcha before, twice by myself, it didn't feel like I was there by myself. It felt like I was there with my community, with people that probably felt the same way as I did. So this time around, having you there was even more beautiful, because I felt like I was introducing you to like my chosen family, right? Like this community of people that sometimes doesn't have anybody to turn to. I know that that was in my case, because I am so blessed to be able to have a family that supports me and that is there for me, but a lot of people don't. And so thinking about that and seeing little kids there, those little kids, whether they are gay or not, whether they end up being heterosexual, queer, or however they want to identify as, at least now have the tools, the arsenal to be able to choose and not feel like they're not going to belong. So I think that going back to what you were saying about healing an inner child, yes, every time I go to La Marcha and I see children and I see families, there's a part of me that sees myself in them. And there's a part of me that allows me to tell my inner child, you're okay. Like, you're not alone. And there are others like you. So yeah, La Marcha is so amazing. We were there for a long while. Then we went to go get drinks, and then we went to go eat. And yes, I did buy this crown, because I remember seeing these crowns the very first time I went, and I was like, oh my God, I love them. I think these are so cool. And they're so simple, because they're made out of like cardstock. And I've always wanted one. And so this year I ended up buying one, because I felt like you being there gave me the courage to buy one and wear one, because I don't think I'm the kind of person, or at least I don't have the courage yet, to be able to go to a Pride and really dress out and show out. Like, it's not something that I'm comfortable with just yet. So you being there gave me the courage to be able to purchase this crown. And I've never read that book, Where the Wild Things Are. I never even knew what like the storyline was until you mentioned it. Y entonces al final fuimos a comer a un restaurante de mariscos. Y and we were there, we were having a good time, we were getting more drinks. Y se nos acercó un niño. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Se nos acercó un niño, and he was selling, I think, chicles and mazapanes. And we genuinely didn't have any cash on us. And he looked at the crown and he said, can I have it? I think he asked you. Mm-hmm. He asked you if he could have it, right? And then you turned around and you looked at me. And I was like, yes, dásela. Dale la crown, you know? So that to me was also one of those moments where I was like, you know, because clearly all the queers were wearing these crowns. So when that kid asked for the crown, I was like, yes, let's give this kid this crown, because who knows what he'll grow up being. But if he is queer, I know that he'll probably turn back and look at that moment and be like, you know, somebody gifted me this. No sé ni siquiera que me imaginé, but it was also a special moment. So then we left, we got some rest because the next day was going to be the Xochimilco trip. Oh, but when we left La Marcha, we ended up being en un bazar, ¿te acuerdas? Y este bazar era de puras personas queer y transgénero. And we ended up meeting the guy who created the opening look for Matraca for RuPaul's Drag Race Mexico. And we went so crazy because when we saw his work, we were like, oh my God, this looks like Matraca's outfit. And he ended up telling us that he actually did the outfit, remember? Mm-hmm. So we went nuts. Judy bought something. I bought something. You actually ended up wearing yours the next day, no?
Yeah, and actually Matraca was wearing the same thing. So I was like super
So who fandom. Wore it better?
Obviously Matraca, but I was super I was super fangirling because I was like, oh my God. And then everyone on the bus was like, oh my God, you are wearing her like her clothes. And I was like, I didn't do it on purpose, I promise. But it was,
well, we didn't know she was going to wear that same outfit.
Yeah.
But it's the outfit that has all the bandanas or the... ¿Cómo se llama?
The very pañuelos. Chola one.
Sí, so... Okay, so let's talk about that event because that event was wild. It was awesome. And so let me tell you a little bit about Mágico Tours if you don't know about Mágico Tours. Mágico Tours was created by my friend Pam from Café con Pam podcast and myself because when I first went and experienced this whole, like, este marcha, I was mesmerized and I wanted to help bring people. And so one of the biggest obstacles that I think people still feel is that, is it safe? Is it okay to go? And many times people are afraid to book things and do things because they're just overwhelmed. La Ciudad de México es tan grande and there's so much to do that you do get overwhelmed. So what we do at Mágico Tours is we take away all of the hassle of planning and getting to point A from point B and, bueno, al revés, getting from point A to point B. And so we do that. So we tell people, miras a Fuente de los Cibeles a tal hora y de ahí tenemos autobuses que nos llevan a las trajineras y ahí ya tenemos nuestro embarcadero because we don't go to Nativitas where it's super jam-packed. We have like our own little private a port or, ¿cómo se dice? Embarcadero. Y pues bueno, we take all of that away. Y tenemos open beer en las trajineras, tenemos música, tenemos drag queens, tenemos mariachi. Like, it's really a freaking brunch out in the
in
canals.
In the ocean.
In the canals of Xochimilco. Entonces, el primer año que fuimos, literal, fueron 30 personas. And we were like, oh my God, dos trajineras, that is fucking wild. Este segundo año, literal, we doubled that. It was 60 people. De que cuatro trajineras, they had to take off separately. But then we met El Lago, and all of us met. Todas las trajineras se juntaron. Quesadillas, bebidas, las drag queens. Matraca was amazing. Mona Gray from Los Angeles. El Mariachi. Like, everyone was just having a blast. And to be able to experience that with my sister, like, I really wanted you to see what this was about and what I was doing in Mexico. What did you think about that event or that time?
It was a lot of fun. And honestly, I feel like I tell you and maybe you more. That's all fucked up, but I feel like I tell you guys, or maybe not as often, but I am extremely proud of what my siblings are doing. And I think that being able to see how big this event was now and how people were like, oh my God, thank you so much for this. It was such a blast. And people basically being so grateful to you for allowing them to experience this was just really fucking awesome because I feel like sometimes you're really hard on yourself and you don't give yourself the credit that you should be giving yourself. But honestly, like, he was a chicken running without his head. Like, Luis was.
Or was that? Or was I a chicken running around for head?
He was all over the place, and I think he really, really, like, fucking came through for all the people on all those trajineras. He showed up for himself, for everyone, and it was just really cool to see you in action, to be, you know, to deliver everything that you did. And and there was a moment where Luis was like cagándose and like could not anymore. But it was just so much fun. It was
Let's talk about that. Literal, y'all. Like, not cagándose of like shit that might go wrong. It did go wrong. No. I don't know what the fuck happened that I literally got chorro. And I was like, holy fuck, Houdin, I am going to blow. And literal, nos paramos en un lugar que tenía dos baños. Había una fila. Like, I wanted to cry.
He did his face. His face was like so fucking red. Like, he just could not. And I was fucking living. It was funny. But no, it was just so, it was such a magical experience. Honestly, I feel like Xochimilco in itself is so magical because there's so many, like, so many people have passed through there. You know, it's so like ancestral. There's so many like beautiful people. There's people who live there, like that's their home. And it's always such a magical place to be. But to be in this space with art, like the community, the gay community, and just being there and having other people come to us and kind of join us and like chant with us, and everybody just fucking being family with each other. And it was just a beautiful moment. It was so beautiful to see everybody just have a great time, forget whatever is happening, and be there, you know, be there, be present, and feel welcomed, because I'm sure all those people were like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing, you know? But yeah, I think you know, you're doing amazing things, and I cannot wait for next year because I'm totally going. I even told my friends, I'm like, oh my God, you all need to experience this. This is like such a beautiful, magical, like, it's nada que ver with anything here. Like, the marchas here are, like, you just cannot compare it. Like, you just cannot. And I'm not giving any, ¿cómo se dice? I'm not...
Okay.
Like, I give the prides here credit, but it's just...
No se compara.
You just have
Definitivamente
to... Yeah, no, you just have to go to Mexico and experience it the way that...
That we experience.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And you're doing that for people. So I think that's fucking amazing. And the people who were there were like, oh my God, dude, your brother's fucking amazing. And people were like, oh, I cannot wait for next year. And your brother did all this. It's fucking crazy. And it's just hearing all of that positive feedback too was just really cool, because it's like, Luis was stressing. And I was like, bro, there's things that are, you know, that are obviously out of your control, and it's gonna like pop off.
I always stress for the beginning to get there on time. You saw Matraca was there late. Those are the things that, like, I stopped stressing the moment that we're an hour in to the Trajineras. That's when I stopped stressing, and that's when I start drinking. Because everything else before that can literally like turn the trip into shit. And I need to be present to be able to put fires out if need be. So anyways, go to Mexico Tours on TikTok and Instagram. Para que vean fotos y videos. And hopefully you can join us next year. Pride or La Marcha en la Ciudad de Mexico always happens on the last Saturday of the month in June. So start asking for your days off. Tickets are going to go on sale in February for us, and they typically sell out. Así que hopefully we can double from 60 to 120. And if that is the case, we are bringing in a DJ next year. DJ we saw and heard at the cevicheria.
Oh my God, yeah.
He was fucking down.
Amazing. Honestly, everyone in Mexico and everything in Mexico and everywhere you go in Mexico has the most... talented, amazing fucking people that you meet. Like, you meet the most amazing people in Mexico. Like, it's just, I love Mexico.
Entonces, después de eso, todo mundo pedos, de regreso en el autobús, we were all karaokeing. Matraca was giving shots to everyone. Like, it was a party in that bus. And so we get back, everybody splits up, they go their own way, and then... we don't do what.
Oh my god, at night, I'm remembering now. It's coming back.
We don't do anything after that, and we definitely don't go out and party with people. Pero si nos invitan, then we will go. I don't like to plan anything because I'm already like, I'm done. I'm like, I'm off. Pero nos invitan a salir, and we do end up going to the club. So we went to a club, which was Ricos, I think. No, it wasn't Ricos. What was it called?
It was called, oh my God, what was
no, it wasn't
called?
Ricos. I know it wasn't Ricos. It was some other club that doesn't typically open on Sundays.
I'm about to go to my archives.
But because it's La Marcha weekend, they open on Sundays. So we went there, and a lot of the people went with us, right?
Yes, and oh my God, it was.
That so first too. Of all, let me just say this. La señora and me took over because we were on the third floor of this place and the music was bumping so much so that everybody was jumping. And then for a quick second, obviamente yo con mi edad, con mis años que me cargo, me cansé de estar brincando. And so I stopped jumping. And I feel the fucking ground moving.
Yeah, it was like, fucking moving.
It was moving.
Like a wave.
And the first thing I did is I grabbed my sister and I was like, vente para acá. So we went from like the middle of the dance floor to the side because I was like, if this shit caves in, like the middle is what's going to go down. So we were like, stay over on this side. We literally moved. I tried to move everybody to the side. And, como se llama, luckily it didn't cave in, but...
We came in, bitch.
Wait, I didn't fall.
Yes, you
not,
did.
Not there. You fucking ate shit.
No, you fell down the stairs.
Not there.
Well, anyways, not there. Somebody did the splits and knocked me down. But we both had falls that night. We were so drunk.
So, de ahí salimos como a las 3 de la mañana. And... Everybody else wanted to continue to party, but Judith had to go home because then everybody went to, again, Tom's Leather Bar. And Tom's Leather Bar is
Blow
just...
Blow Bar.
Blow Bar? Was that what it was called? Blow okay. Bar. So we went to Blow Bar, which usually is not open on Sundays, but they were for this weekend. So we went to Tom's Leather Bar, a whole bunch of us. And Judith had to go home porque nuevamente no la dejan entrar. And we were there having a great time. Everybody showed up. And then into the night... I go to the second floor, and I'm walking down the second floor, and I literally fucking fell from the second floor all the way down the stairs, and in front of me was a busboy carrying a whole fucking box of caguamas. So I literally took him down, and then you could hear the caguamas exploding. The steps were made out of metal, so the sound was so big, so loud, the whole club... Like, paused and turned around and looked at me. Y yo, obviamente, me paré en chinga. And I'm like, I'm fine. Y seguí pinche partying y la chingada. I literally hit my tobillo. And it was bleeding. Pero yo en ese momento, yo trying to be all cool, I was like, fuck. So, let's think about this, right? The next day, I couldn't walk. Like, my tobillo was so swollen, I couldn't fucking walk. Pero, remember that I had gone to Tom's the first night we got there. If that shit would have happened that first night, like, I would have been so screwed because I would have not been able to have gone to La Marcha. I would have been miserable at Xochimilco. So I'm glad it happened on the last day. And that was that. Like, I don't think anything else, any other memorable moments from Ciudad de Mexico, right?
Yes. What? I was on fucking Bumble.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Honestly, I experienced a very fun time. But I was on Bumble Mexico.
She experienced the real torta de chilaquiles.
I
She experienced the real churros del morro. Pero más bien el churro del morro.
But no, era un lindo. He was super cool. He was a professor at one of the schools there. But it was so fun because I was like, you know what? I told Luis, I've seen so many Rosa de Guadalupe that right now I'm about to say, you know what? Like, que sea lo que sea.
Que sea lo que Dios quiera.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I can meet this guy and go to a local, like, bar, local anything, because we were kind of like on the había things around us, and it was very, it felt very safe. No, it felt very, it felt like there would be people around at like 2 a.m. So it felt like it was a busy, but people, you know. So anyways, I was like, okay, well, fuck it. I'm gonna just go meet him. I gave him the address to our house. And basically this guy lived in the corner. So it all worked out. It was like fucking great. And we went for, we were gonna go for some ice cream and the ice cream place was closed. So then we ended up going to like ¿cómo se llaman?
Las... A porn shop.
No, ¿cómo se llaman las tienditas allá?
Oxxo?
Yeah, there you go. Oh my God, why did that leave my head? Sorry. We went to an Oxxo and grabbed a bunch of like little snacks and then we went back to the Airbnb. And it was just cool, like the way that he, we were talking about our carreras and everything. It was just a fucking vibe.
And Jodi was just on a race to get into the bedroom.
And I was like, you know what? A lo que te traje.
A lo que te truje, Chencho.
A lo que yo vine.
Fue esto.
But anyways, that was fun. And then I think the last day we just got to hang out with our grandmother. Oh, I got to experience Luis and Ricardo's like childhood food place.
Oh, yeah.
It was called
El Roger.
Huaraches El Roger. And I think that was just also another very like inner child because a mí nunca me llevaron. A mí nunca me llevaron a ningún lado. So being able to experience that as an adult, and then they took me to where they would go have Eskimos when they were little. All of that was just really, really, really beautiful to experience. And even though we don't have a close relationship with my grandmother and anything relatable for the matter, it was just nice to see her because it just, I always tell Luis, Luis is the type of person that's very like, I don't give a fuck, they're not my family. And I understand his reasons, they're validated. But to me, it's more, I never grew up with a grandmother. I never grew up with that relationship that most people do with their grandparents. And even if we have nothing to share, I think being able to share the same, I don't know, air and being in the same room is beautiful to me because at the end of the day, like that is my mom's mom and we have my mom because of her. So yeah, it's a little like bittersweet in the sense that I see her como es con mi prima, and I'm just like, fuck, I wish that I had that, you know? I wish that, like...
Do you?
I mean, the part where, you know, like, they have a cool... Not
the part,
a cool...
I think it's just the part where there's a connection, because it's not even a cool collection. Connection.
Yeah, it's not. But yeah. And then also this trip also really made me realize how crazy los traumas de mi mamá are or have been because my poor prima, like, we're not gonna go into that, but the family in Mexico is just so
toxic,
so much so that, like, I am just so grateful that at the end of the day, yeah, we didn't grow up with anyone, that we at least have a really cool connection with each other, with my parents. And I was actually telling this to a friend last night that I'm just so lucky to have, you know, the parents and the type of support that they have given us because, holy fuck, in Mexico, they are just so fucking toxic. Like, literally the one night or day that we were with them, I was already fucking drained. I was like, fuck, I'm glad we did this on the last day because I don't think I can go back to Mexico and stay with my grandmother for more than 2 days.
More than one night.
Because it's a lot. But yeah, I always say it's nice when you get to see them because we don't really share anything with them, but at least seeing them is nice. And I think that now as an adult, I appreciate that a lot more. Because when I was younger, it was just like, me llevaban a huevo. And now it's like, I'm choosing to go. So,
it's yeah, cool. It's different. It definitely is different. So, that was our trip. Damn, that took a whole 52 minutes. And we have five more months to go over.
We should do a snippet of like what's been going on. Okay, flash forward.
Flash forward to today.
So, we've been busy. I want to give a huge shout out to my sibling of what he's doing because I think a couple of months back he said this in a podcast that he said he was working on so many projects as usual, and one of the projects that he's been working on that he really wanted to put out there, he finally did, and he's probably gonna share. Well, yeah, he was gonna share because Luis loves to talk about himself. But I am feeling like
mi colorín colorado este cuento aún no se ha acabado. Capítulo 1.